Canto 12. The place we came to for our next descent was alpine, and because of what it held, no eye would seek it. As downstream from Trent, by either earthquake or weak ground impelled, the landslide struck the Adige's left bank, so that the shaken peak now joins the plain through one steep slope the traveller might thank for steps of broken rock. The same again was this path downward into the ravine, and on the chasm's edge outstretched there lay the infamy of Crete, by whom I mean the Minotaur, conceived on the sad day when Pasiphae wore the cow of wood, and when he saw us he began to eat himself, as one whose rage would, if it could, consume him, hungry for the nearest meat. My wise one cried, "Perhaps you think that I bring you the Duke of Athens, Theseus, who in the living world taught you to die? Beast, get away! This man will not discuss plans with your sister. He is on the road to see the suffering in the realm you guard." As a bull that breaks loose when the final goad delivers the death stroke, but is debarred from running, lunges here, there, anywhere, so did the Minotaur. And when my guide saw this, he cried, "That passage over there! Run for it while he's still preoccupied with his own fury, and start down!" And so we picked our way down those piled rocks, which moved because they felt a weight they did not know, often beneath my feet, and thereby proved that I was mortal. As I went, I thought. And he, "You think about this ruined cliff, guarded by that wild beast whose rage I brought to heel just now? You'd not have seen it if you'd been with me the first time I came here into the depths of hell. None of this rock had fallen then. Love caused it to appear when he who took his pick from Limbo's stock came down to the top circle. Then love shook this putrid valley to its depths. I felt the universe feel love. Some others look on love as causing chaos that can melt the world entire, and has repeatedly. That was the moment when this rock was thrown down thus, both here and elsewhere. But now, see, below that river, made of blood alone, it holds and boils all those whose violence has injured others. Blind greed, brainless rage. In our brief lives they drive us beyond sense and leave us misery for a heritage throughout eternity. I saw a wide moat, curved, just as my escort had outlined, to frame the level. Here on the near side, between the moat's edge and the cliff behind, a line of archer centaurs ran, as they had done on earth when chasing game. They saw us coming down and stopped. Three broke away, bringing their best-made arrows. "Lest I draw my bow," one cried from far off. "Tell us what torment you come to. Why descend the slope? Tell us from there." My master, "You will not taunt with an answer. Chiron there can cope. Your hasty will was always your disease." Then he touched me and said, "The one who shouts is Nessus. For the wife of Hercules, fair Deianira, he died, and the gouts of blood that soaked his shirt avenged him. He's nothing beside great Chiron. That's him there in the middle, looking down at his own chest. He had the young Achilles in his care. The other one is Pholus, so possessed with rage, and this is just the one patrol of the centaur army. Round the moat they go in thousands, loosing shafts at every soul that lifts itself out of the blood by so much as an inch more than its guilt permits." Now we were near to those quick beasts. Chiron pulled back his beard with where the notched bolt fits into the string. Mouth bared, "Keep your eyes on that second one," he told his friends. "His feet shift what they step on. Dead feet never do." At Chiron's breast, where his two natures meet, my master said of me, "He lives, it's true, and he's alone. It is for me to show this clouded valley to him. He is brought here by necessity, not pleasure. So someone instructed me who had cut short her hallelujahs. He is not a thief, and nor am I. But by the power that steers my steps on this road, wild without relief, choose from your ranks to be our eyes and ears one who can find the ford, or take a man across the bloodstream on his back, for men cannot fly through the air as spirits can." Chiron turned to his right. "All right, then," he said to Nessus. "You can double back, show them the ford, and scare off any band like ours that you might meet." Off down the track, we moved with our new guide, on the last land before the bubbling red, in which the boiled up to their eyebrows screamed. "Tyrants who dipped their hands in blood, they never recoiled," sang the great centaur. "Lust for plunder gripped them once, and how it got them where they are, they now regret, as you can hear. But see, that's Alexander, called by Seneca, the cruel, and not the great. And Sicily suffered from that man Dionysius for long years. And that brow with the black hair belongs to Ezzelino, tortured thus for tortures given. That one is the fair Obizodeste, smothered by his son up there. Down there, what takes his breath away flows from the things he did and not those done to him." I turned to hear my poet say, "That last news will make certain what you guess." We moved on. When the centaur stopped once more, there was a crowd below us who were less deeply immersed than those we'd seen before. Mere murderers. They had caused less distress, and so their heads, as far down as the throat, stood out above the blood like flesh and bone, while Nessus, pointing, bade us both take note of one shade who appeared to stand alone, even among the alone. "That one is Guy de Montfort, who in God's house took a life. And now the heart he stabbed sits in the sky above the Thames, and still it feels the knife, and still drips blood." And after that I saw people who stood with head, neck, and whole chest on view, and I knew many. More and more the blood grew shallow. Leaving raw the rest, it cooked only the feet. Here we could cross. "On this side you may see the blood run thin," the centaur said. "But there is no real loss, for on the other side more blood flows in to fill a bed which goes on deepening until it reaches where the tyrants groan as holy justice puts the sacred sting to Attila, scourge of earth. In the same zone are Pyrrhus, Rome's inveterate enemy, and Sextus likewise. Justice milks the tears. Let loose by steam the boiling gore sets free from Rinier da Corneto. Recent years have seen the high roads made a battlefield by him and Rainier Pazzo. Same first name, same ruthlessness. But time forced them to yield, and when their world died, this was where they came." The centaur turned. We watched his head-high stride back through the ford across the crimson tide.